Hi, everybody. This is Ali Rodriguez, and I am your guest today. And I guess we're both co-hosting. We got Catherine Bean on the line as well. And we are very excited about this call where we can address your questions about passion and how we're going to deal with that passion of yours, of the many passions that you have, and how we're going to be utilizing it into the new year. So practical keys to passionate living, here we go. And we're recording now. Today is December 30th, 2008. Can you imagine? We're at the end of the year, and it is 4 p.m. in the Eastern Seaboard. So welcome, everybody. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you very much, Ali. I am so excited to be here. I wanted to just give up the briefest of introductions because we have so many questions. We want to answer as many as we possibly can. But Ali and I met in the miraculous world of the new media, social media. I actually came across Ali on Facebook, and one of my passions for 2009 is to help people my age. I'm 56 and a grandma. To get to embrace social media, because we have more opportunity today than ever before to get our passionate work out into the world. And what an interesting time that you read the newspaper and watch the news. It can be overwhelmingly negative, and some would say realistic, and I would say maybe. But this new world we're looking at, where people can become friends, colleagues, collaborating partners from across the country, never having seen one another before, is magical and wonderful. And I found Ali, and I approached her about a joint venture a couple of months ago. And we're like cut out of the same cloth, aren't we, Ali?
Unbelievable.
We share so much passion, and especially for people who are just close. They know they're called to something. They just can't quite get a grip. They can't bring it into focus. And there's so much frustration at knowing you have giftedness and being either stuck in a dead-end job, a dead-end relationship. Where do we go? How do we move forward? And the questions we got are very reflective of that. So I am just tickled pink to be here today to serve as the moderator for this call. I'm going to go ahead and ask Ali the questions that have come in. And I know at the end of the call we're going to feel incredibly inspired, because most of us who are listening to this call, all of us that are on this call are being called to move forward, not to stay stuck in the past. We're called to move forward into 2009. And so, Ali, with no further ado, I would love to ask you the first question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I love this one. I can resonate with this one. It says, "Hi, Ali. I have so many different things that I want to do that I think I'm conflicted, and then I find myself not doing anything productive. How do I settle on one thing and focus on it only? How do I know what is my burning desire?" And then she adds, "Glory," and she adds, "I know the answer is probably obvious, but is there a way for me to settle down to just one thing?"
Yes, the one way to settle down on just one for now, because you're always going to have many, many passions, we all do. But the one thing that is the burning one is think about what you would do if you didn't have that in your life, of all of the things that you got going on. And like she says, you know, I know the answer is fairly obvious, but sometimes the obvious escapes us. And the one way to settle down on just one is know that itch. It's almost like when we have an itch that needs scratched really badly, and you, let's say that right now you have, like, you know, 10 fires going on. You have 10 different itches in different parts of your body. Which is the one that needs the most attention? And this is something that I've discussed before, which is get yourself a calendar where you can call it your idea calendar as well, and you can put all of those passions in there that you can pick and choose to see which is the one that is the most burning. I would say to Lori, pay attention to the one that needs scratch immediately. It is like an itch that needs scratch. That
makes sense. Is it helpful, Ali? Is it helpful to even write down, perhaps even start with just a yellow legal pad and, you know, just write down, "I love to do whatever," and just get it out in front of you?
Writing it down is the most, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because what we do a lot of the time is we keep things in our head, and seldom we put it in writing. And it's the same thing with this itch that we all got going on. We actually need to think about it, what it is that is really getting to us, And if we still don't see it clearly, write it down in different ways. Just write down, this is how I feel, this is what's really nagging at me. It's almost like when we have a very young child that is tugging at us, you know, they're pulling on our skirts or our pants. It's the same thing with this. So write it down, even if it's on a post-it note. I've seen people create business plans in the back of a napkin, and it may not make sense, but it can be done. And the same thing with that, so thank you for bringing that up. Definitely write it down, because if it doesn't get written down, it may just stay a wish that it could have become a reality, which is actually what's going to kick you into a bigger and a better life.
That's good, thanks. Let's go to this next one here. This is a good one, especially now, I think. Nan asks us, how do you keep passion flaming through the downtimes in your life?
Well, you know, that's a good one. It's also a tough one, because how do you? And that requires a huge amount of focus on what all is good in your world. Again, having a journal or having a micro recording that you can either put in your pocket or something that you can play back later if you can't write it down, or if you, whatever it is that you're doing, jot down whatever it is that really keeps you with a purpose in this world, in this life as you know it. Because the times are tough, the times are down, and again, like she says, how do you keep it? It's a very good question, it's a very tough question. And part of the answers, not all of the answer, come first of all from within. What about my life makes sense? What about my life is good? What about my life is fulfilling? And what about my life, through all of the challenges that I have encountered before, have helped me get over things that were really, really bad at one given point or another? Because we all have problems. And the thing of it is that actually problems is a sign of life, because we have feelings. It makes us feel good, bad, or indifferent, but it makes us feel. And problems, once we solve one, there's going to be another one. So part of keeping the flame when the times are tough and when the times are down, or even our spirits may not be as up as we want them to be, is what is all right with my world.
That's really good. I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking of an image, Ellie, for example, like if you had a candle that was lit and you were outdoors, it was dark, and when the wind starts to blow, what is your gut feeling? Is put your hands around that flame and protect the flame. So what would you say is a good suggestion for that, you know, to keep, maybe about our own thoughts, you know, if we accept the fact that there's going to be tough times and not fight it, but what can we do, you know, if we're in that, the breeze of change and we want to keep ourselves sheltered?
Well, the question, I thought the answer to that question would be another question. Do we want to keep ourselves sheltered? Hi, whoever is on the line, can you hit star number 6? We appreciate your feedback, but for now we need you to go on mute. Thank you. Just hit star 6. Thanks a lot. It has to do with a lot of looking inward again and hanging on to, all right, do I really need to be sheltered? And then if so, finding the ways as to how you protect yourself, finding all of the mental abilities to protect yourself from whatever is bothering you so you can keep that flame alive. It's all a matter of what's really happening at that precise moment in time. In other words, look in the mirror and ask yourself this very important question. What is the best that I can be doing for myself at this precise moment in time? And focus on what all is right with your world.
That's really good advice, because I think a lot of times when people get a new idea or they're just starting to move toward their passion, they might even talk about the passion with people who are not as informed, and people can smush your dream before it's born if we're not careful. That's one way of protecting it, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And that's another phase of passion and dreaming, because once you know what your passion is, a lot of things can happen. But when you're in the process of identifying the one that needs to be happening right now, this is also a very important time where you have to have a confidant, somebody that you can trust, be it a mentor, a coach. It has to be somebody that you can trust, and where you are in that stage of finding the one to really move you forward, it's a very good idea to write it down and do not divulge. It sometimes needs to stay confidential within yourself until such a time. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. In fact, that brings me to another question here that it says, when your ideal business is still in the gestational stages, how can one keep from trying to rush the delivery? And I would say, or pick a different baby. You know, so what can I do to stay busy on the right things and let the baby pick its own time of delivery? That's just kind of a tricky time when you're letting things grow within, and you don't want to share too early with other people. What's your advice on that?
You're talking gestation. It's very much similar to if you're in the dreaming stage of your passion and you got a lot of passions going on. There are certain things that you need to ask your own intuition. You have to ask three parts of who you are, and that is your intelligence. You have to ask your intellect. You have to ask your emotions, and you have to ask your intuition all simultaneously. What do I need to keep to myself, and what can I divulge? And your intuition is always going to be the guide. That's the one that's never going to betray you. You know, your intellect is going to be analytical. Your emotions are going to be wild. That's the wild side of you. However, your intuition is your guide. It's the one that protects you and guides you. So listen carefully to what that has to say to you, and trust it. During the gestation stage, there's certain things that you have to keep to yourself. It's almost like, when a woman gets pregnant, many times women wait until the third month before they even announce that they're pregnant, because they want to have the certainty, they want to know everything is all right, especially with, you know, all of the advances in medicine and technology nowadays. And that's the same thing with our passions and our dreams, when we have so many of them and we want to kind of induce, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, just be careful, because sometimes inducing may not be in the best interest of what needs to be happening for yourself, unless you know that your instinct is telling you that. So, you know, that to me is very important, that you always trust in your intuition and let that be your guide. And again, have a trusted confidant, and there are certain things that do not divulge, because it's not in your best interest to be talking about things that are happening, because so many things happening that have not come to fruition, may not come to fruition, and it may not be yet the thing to do right now.
Right.
Certain things that are so critical in your life and at a pivotal point, keep it quiet. Write it down, share it with a confidant, but not with anybody else.
Oh, that's such good advice, Allie, and I know that you have something. What triggered for me in that last answer is finding someone that you can trust to help you, because sometimes family members or your close friends are not necessarily the wisest to share your heart with, because they don't see your calling and they don't know what you need. And the idea of getting into coaching is something that can be so valuable, and I know you've got a really great class coming up real soon now, and I would love to take a minute and just tell us about that, because I'm thrilled to be part of what you're offering. And you talk about the power of five, and could you tell us a little bit about what that is and what the details are about how to get involved?
Yes. Thank you so much for asking that. The power of five actually is based on five of our most fundamental core essences that we all have, and because these goals are about passion, see, this program is a 5-week tele-series, if you will. And it is based, here are the core activities that go on within our soul, and that is passion. The first power of five, the first key in the power of five is passion. And all this is very much intertwined. So first we focus on passion, and I will identify the passion in everybody that attends the class, and we make a plan what to do with that passion. Then, and it's very engaging, and it's very invigorating, and it really keeps you in gear. From there, we go into pride. This is one thing that is overlooked by a lot of people, and it is one of our most fundamental core essences and values that we all have. When we are really proud of who we are, what we do, and who we serve, you become unstoppable. Nobody can stop you. I mean, I'm even getting a big response right now.
Yeah, me too.
So, yes, yeah. There goes a synchronicity. Because it's almost like when you stand in front of your flag and you say, I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Yeah.
Think about what goes with it. You are so proud right then that who's going to stop you? This is no longer about, you know, who's going to let me, but who's going to stop me? So that's the second core, the second key to the power of five and the second core value. Then we go into purpose. So what do I do with my passion and what do I do with my pride? There's got to be a why. There's got to be a reason. And then we work on the purpose. What is your purpose? Not only in this life, but what is that purpose? What is that passion and that pride supposed to serve your purpose in life? To your community, to your family, to yourself, and to your own belief system and values. So we go into the purpose big time. It's really, really, I mean, it's amazing what happens. And then from there, we go into profit. That would be the fourth core value and necessity and part of who we are. It's creating profit from that passion that we have for what we do and having the pride for what we do and who we serve and then the reason why we're doing it. We're here also to monetize our expertise and our passion, so that's the part where I concentrate a lot of, this is the profit. It's not just about making money, but it's about having profits, making profits, so you can have the lifestyle that you deserve. But then it becomes about lifestyle and profit. And then last but not least, the last P to the power of five is going up to me, it's where I close everything with perception. It's how you master your own truth. You become a master of meaning to your own truth as to how you perceive things. That's how you will be. And that is the power of five, and that commences on January 7th. It will be every Wednesday between the 7th of January to February the 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And you can find more about it, and actually you can register for it at www.visionforsuccess.biz/calendar.html. Just go to my calendar tab of visionforsuccess.biz and you will see the power of five right there. And the quicker you get in, the quicker we can fill up the class and we'll get going on January the 7th. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I especially like, I was really resonating with the pride part because how often some of us have been taught, don't draw attention to yourself, don't, who do you think you are, you know, those kinds of things that hearing you teach about pride really triggers because there's like a false humility, I think, that blocks our full expression, don't you?
Definitely. It definitely is. And for some other folks that have been inclined and taught from a very early age, that being proud is not such a good thing because there's falsehood involved with it. When being proud is one of the most important things that you can be, it is really part of who you are. So not being proud and who you are, what you do, and who you serve, it becomes an issue. And not to capitalize on something that is your, it's a natural birthright that you have, it's almost like you're missing an ingredient to the whole thing. So it's a beautiful thing to capitalize on it and utilize it and wear it, you know, just wear it. Like it's part of who you are.
And that's great. I can't wait myself. I think it's going to be cool to see what you're going to develop there. And I have a question here from Sue that kind of ties in for me because she writes, I need to get a handle on how to take what I'm passionate about in my heart and create something that could potentially make money. And I think some of us, when we're in the helping profession, there's a confusion about charging money for a giftedness that's in the intangible world, you know, creating more peace in people's hearts, or like you do, create passion in people. What's your opinion about that?
Okay, what Sue wants specifically is how could she potentially make money at what she's already passionate about, is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Sue, if you're listening, I'd love to have a strategic session with you, because I tell you, if it's already in you, it's already a money-making machine. The money is there to be made. All you have to do is really have a plan and have a business model to follow. It is so easy. You know, all of us who build our business around our passion, we never have to work again because it's so much fun. It's never work. It's never a job. It's never, oh, God, we got to do this. It's always that, oh, I can't wait. So that, if you know what your passion is, it is easy to build your business around it, and then it becomes very, very easy to create a business model and a business plan to monetize your expertise. I'm sitting here, and I can almost visualize her face, and I'm not sure who we're talking about here. But, I want to hug her, and I want to say, oh, let me show you how to do it. because it truly is amazing, and it's a blessing that she already knows what her passion is. The rest, I know she's already a passionista, and you know I'm a passionista at heart. And the rest is really, really easy to do. It is a matter of developing, first of all, look up a business model for whatever your passion is and find out how other people that have been doing the same thing that you're passionate about are doing it so well. So always kind of look up and find out, you know, what other models are out there that are doing what you also are doing or want to do, and they have not only been very successful at it, but they are having a ball with it. They're really having a life. Mm-hmm. And then we'll figure out a way to get a business plan to follow, a marketing plan, obviously. That's very important to have. And that's how you monetize your expertise, because it's all about, again, not making money, but having the profits, creating a profitable business, whereas you're going to have the lifestyle that you deserve, that you want, and that you're going to pay it forward with whatever your desires are, whether it's for your community, for your family, for whatever that is that your heart desires, so it will be. It really is that compelling.
And it's easy. I know Google is just the most wonderful tool. And whatever your passion, whatever you might want to, perhaps you're an expert at wine of all things, and you want to create a passionate work around explaining wine to people. Well, look up on Google about wine connoisseurs, wine coaching. You might be surprised to find that there's a coach out there who already is teaching people about wine. And by typing your question into Google, up that'll come. And that leads me into this other question. It's when you find that there are other people doing, for example, I'm a relationship coach, and then there's hundreds of relationship coaches. And one of my personal issues is there's a little voice inside that says, well, the world doesn't need another relationship coach. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm picking up a little bit of that in Sue's question also. You know, there are other people doing this kind of work. What makes me think that I can step out in a profitable way in a field that already has other experts? What would you say to that?
I would say to that, get a reality check, because there's only one you. You're unique. And when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, the life that you have lived already makes you an expert. You are not a newbie. This is something I find with people that want to set up a new business based on their passion. They already know their passion. And some of the things that may hold them back is that very thing. Well, what makes me such an expert? You've been around. You've already lived a life. So you're not really going into a field that you don't know anything about. You're not a newbie.
That's very good.
You have been around. So that's what makes you an expert. And the other part is that you have your unique blueprint to leave a very unique footprint. Mm-hmm. Talk about printing, you know, and this is what we want to do during this call as well, is to help people do something different in 2009 that is going to be, it's going to leave amazing footprints in both their personal and professional life. This is what it's all about, folks. We really need to wake up to the fact that we are unique. We got a lot to give to the world, and we want to share it. I sincerely hope that everyone who's in this call, and obviously all of the hundreds and thousands of people that will listen to this recording later on, will know in their hearts that this is all about the blueprint that they already have and the footprint that they're going to make in their own personal and professional lives. And so it's all and only about changes. It's about growing and about making a difference within themselves, because charity begins at home.
And you, I love when you say, Allie, one of the favorite things I have is when you start talking about how we need to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
And I think that a symptom of not being on your life path is probably if you're just miserable. If you're just not happy, and so many of us look out and blame other people in our lives when we're not happy. But the fact is, there's a question here from Jenny who says, what if I think I'm following my passion because it's something I've done for a lifetime and I'm very good at it, yet my life calling may be something different? How do I know for sure, and what do I do next?
If it's something that you feel complacent with, like you're in your comfort zone and you're okay, and you're not bothered with it or by it, then it sounds like you are in an okay place. The question to ask of yourself will be, am I okay being just okay?
Yeah.
And the fact that Jenny happened to ask that question is already telling me that she knows something that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that she probably knows that there's something else she wants to do. And I think her second part of the question, which is what do I do next, is that it? It's definitely write down that little talk that you have inside of you that is saying to you, I'm happy, but, you know, that little word, B-U-T. Yeah, I'm content, but, and I'm really, really safe, but. And if that keeps on coming up, then ask yourself, okay, what's going on in here? And start writing down some of those thoughts that are crossing your mind as to what else would you like to be doing that this but keeps on coming up for you. What would you like to be doing if there wasn't a boss? Because there's a reason why she's asking that question, and that's telling me that she's already been kind of taught that as to maybe there's something else you need to do. And really, we don't need to wait for anything to happen to be happy. We create our own, again, that goes back to perception. We create our own perception, we create our own perception of happiness. So Jenny's thinking as to, well, what if? That's already telling me that there is a bot going on with the sense of perhaps the comfort zone she's in, and the comfort is the okayness of whatever she is. She's having, if she's asking that question, it's because she's thinking that there may be something else. So time to write things down, time to, again, go to the mirror and ask yourself, am I really okay with this? Is there something else going on in here? Is there something else I'd like to do that I'm not doing? Because to me that sounds like there's a little dog in there that is making her want to ask that question.
Yeah,
and that going to the mirror and asking, the mirror to me is the best of friends, and it's also the best of enemies. It's going to tell you the truth. Hey, you know, we all look at it in the morning.
That's right.
And it's not going to lie. You know, it's not going to lie, so trust it. You know, obviously you have to trust yourself and you have to have a lot of self-confidence. But even as that, it's one way of building it. It truly is. So I hope I answered Jenny's question.
Well, following up with that, because sometimes you might be in a very satisfying career, and it is what it is, but the call that is pulling you is to be involved in a charity or a foundation or something like that, that your passion may not necessarily be your money maker. Would you say that's true?
That is very true, and then you have to make a decision as to how important is the money making system. You know, and you know what, this happens a lot in religious vocations, where you may have a woman, for example, or say she's been an executive, she's been a professional, and maybe since she was a little girl, she always wanted to be a nun, just to pick the Catholic religion.
Mm-hmm.
And she may have already made a life for herself, and she may have already been married and have children. All of a sudden, she just becomes she decides to become a Carmelite and go into, you know, into quiet meditation for the rest of her life. And it's happened, you know, I've seen it. So that goes to that question in a way, you know, if that was your passion, and this happens with men too as well, where all of a sudden they want to go into a life of quiet and solitude and meditation for others. And it's all about that calling. I tell you, that little voice is so powerful, and it will always show up. It will always, always, always show up. If you have had it quieted down for now, that voice is never really going to go away. It's going to come back. The minute you're quiet, that you think that everything is okay, and you don't have to think about it again, well, it's going to come back. Because it's always, that to me is a true calling that you've always had since the time you were born.
And we live in such a noisy climate with TV and radio and all of the electronics. It's sometimes challenging to get quiet enough to hear that voice, isn't it?
It is. And when you ask that about, you know, it may not always be the monetary thing, it may be a calling that may be very altruistic, and it would probably be, you know, just transcending a lot of what we value as material gains. Listen, if you've got that kind of calling, it's not going to matter. This is what this call is all about. What is your calling? What are you passionate about? And we're here to address some of the questions and concerns before that really is. That's a wonderful, wonderful question, and if whoever, you know, wrote that has a kind of a calling, by all means answer it, because the more you delay it, actually the more loud that voice is going to get eventually.
I know.
So no point.
And it's true. I agree with you in the fact that she even asked that question.
Isn't it amazing?
That there's some little part of you that feels there is something else. So Jenny, I support you. Thank you for asking that. I hope we covered it. And Allie, we have a couple of men that have asked questions, and I know that we, both of us, tend to attract more women than men sometimes when it comes to passion, but it's the passion for your life purpose and your business is equal opportunity. And Fernando has asked, where can we find the passion to self-motivate?
Oh, goodness gracious. That is a wonderful question, and that's also, sometimes it can be very tough because we can be so enthusiastic about a lot of things that we're doing, and when things don't work out our way, we can get a little down by saying, you know, I really put so much effort into being optimistic and enthusiastic, and it didn't quite work out, which brings us to Fernando's question of, you know, how do I stay self-motivated? Because it's part, you know, frustrations are always going to come our way. And motivation, by the way, has nothing to do with inspiration. Inspirations are the ideas that kind of a fire that, you know, that starts to go on. Motivation is what keeps it alive. It's what makes you take action constantly. Inspiration are ideas. You know, when I was talking about the idea calendar before, anybody who has very creative with tons of ideas, start scheduling them. Start putting them someplace where eventually you can put them into another calendar where you can take action towards it. Those are ideas. Those are inspiration. I mean, we all get inspired by everything that we see daily, from the time we wake up, whether it's the bird or whether it's the snow or whether it's just the thought of something, you know, pure and profound or not. That's inspiration. Motivation is what keeps us taking action. And I would say to him is, what's your kicker? Could it be a family member? Could it be how you serve others in the best way that you can? That's motivation. How do we stay self-motivated? It's by putting the focus back on that passion, getting back to why am I doing this? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? And for some people, it's not so much about why am I doing this, but who am I doing it for? It could be someone very close to us, very dear. It could be something, not necessarily someone. but most of the time there's a huge inspiration to get us to self-motivate, to make sure that we ourselves, because sometimes we don't have that confidence, it's not always available, by the way, and especially during this time of year, in the beginning of the year, and you know, who or what or how and where is going to keep us motivated when we may have been going through a period of frustration and a lot of effort. We may have put a lot of effort into doing something, to attain something that we really, really want. All of a sudden things are not really going our way. You know, how do we stay with that, not so much happy attitude, because it's not a matter of having a happy attitude. It's a matter of the way we are. It's a way of being. So what is that kicker for you, I would say, to Fernando? What is that thing that really, you know, every day not only inspires you, but really it's the one that talks to you and say, hey, you know, if I didn't have you, what would I do?
That's really well put. Would you say, too, that this is a chance, and perhaps, I don't know if this is true for Fernando, but to join with someone, create some sort of accountability partner or somebody that, you know, you can count on to bounce ideas back so you're not, I know so many entrepreneurs end up by themselves too much, don't they?
Sometimes when we start having all these conversations into our heads, we need to share them with others, and yes, part of not so much the inspiration, but the motivation, the more the merrier, I would say. These are times where it's wonderful to have not only accountability partners, but I would say idea partners, brainstorming partners, that what kicks one may not kick the other and vice versa. And what is the big thing that really puts that fire into your heart? That, you know, some people have beautiful voices and they have to sing, because if they don't sing, you know, their lives come to an end as they know it, and they do because the little light goes out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a switch. It's like somebody comes into your bedroom or dining room and they turn the lights off. I mean, what's all that about, you know? So it's the same thing. So having a partner, an idea partner, a brainstorming partner, those are relationships that are so strong and so bonding. And somebody to say, well, you told me that you were going to do this, and did you? That, yeah, all of that is part of the picture, and it certainly it's another insurance that you take on making sure that you stay motivated in achieving whatever that is. When I hear those words of self-motivation, that's already telling me that you're somebody who's driven and who loves what he is doing, and he just can't get enough. And he wants to make sure he's always on that path, and that challenges are also part of keeping you alive. Because, you know, without the challenges, it would be highly boring.
Right. Well, Ellie, that just ties in perfectly with, I want to just give you a chance again to tell a little bit about the Power of Five, because many of the people who are offering classes through the internet these days are offering what's called the lecture mode, and much what we're doing today, where we're not really inviting other people to speak at the moment because we have their questions written down. And one of the things I really love about your classes is how interactive they are, because it is that. There is accountability. You are with people for 5 weeks to support you and to help you become accountable. I think that's a hugely valuable part of what you do. So could you just go through one more time how people can work with you? It's such a reasonable price for what you, it's an investment in yourself, and you're offering this class at a very attractive price point, and I just want to give you a chance once again to tie in how this brainstorming, this being accountable with a small group, how intensely that can change a business.
The benefits are immense. They're obvious benefits, and then they're not so obvious benefits. And working with me, especially with this very specific program called the Power of Five, based on your passion, your pride, your purpose, your sense of profit, and then mastering your perception, it is so unique. And this is a program that I developed, and it is just really amazing, the results it gives, not to mention how it makes you feel about yourself, which is, it rocks your world. It really does. As it does for me, with every interaction that I have with the clients and the students, and it is 5 weeks. It starts January, it's every Wednesday, January 7th through February the 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And we focus on the first week will be on your passion, and we'll work on your pride, and we'll work on your purpose, and profits, and perception, and what you will walk away with, what you will gain, how you will apply it to your business, how you will apply it with your relationships, by the way. It's an awesome way also of being a better relationship partner, if you will, because not all relationships are created equal. And some folks are into business partnerships with more than one partner. You know, there are venture partnerships out there. So it's just the benefits there. You get the time benefits, the emotional benefits, the intellectual benefits, the even the physical benefits. Because once you start working on your own sense of pride, you're going to become a much more active person, by the way. So there are tremendous benefits that come along with it. Plus, you know, you'll walk away with a very specific plan and program for each one of the people that come to the class. It's very much tailored to each one, because everyone's going to be different, going to have different needs. So that's what's going on in there. And you can find it at www.visionforsuccess.biz/calendar.html. Again, the company name is Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, the word for, F-O-R, success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S .biz/calendar.html. And you will see the power of five there. And so it's a great, great program, and I hope I can see you all then, January 7th.
And Ellie, if you would have to miss one of the calls, what happens then?
They're all recorded. All of the calls are recorded, so the participants, this is unique. This is not a membership per se, but only the people that participate will be privy to the recordings. So they will have the recordings, yes, indeed.
Good, good, because I know sometimes it's hard to just book yourself, and then with the time differences and what have you, it can be difficult, but it's important to know these recordings are available.
They are.
That's great, and I know you have other programs, and that your website is full of information, so those of you who are new to Allie's work, please do go to the website, visionforsuccess.biz, and read on, because there's lots of information there for you. But I wanted to get to another question here. It's kind of a philosophical question. Pat asks, I have my own take and sense of high expectations and no attachment. Can you tell me yours and how it fits with nurturing your passion to do what you love, and then money will follow?
Doing what you love will always feed your needs, your basic needs. You'll always be covered. So that's how the money follows. Money is one of our basic needs. We have to have food and shelter and a lot of other things. And when you do what you love, it by default, your basic needs are going to be covered, including your monetary needs. So that's how the money follows. That's how you actually become, you begin to attract what you need. If what you need is money, in whatever scale that is that you need, whether it's $200,000 a year, whether it's $1,200,000 a year, you will attract it based on your needs, so your needs are always covered. And I'm sorry, I got carried away with the needs. What was the part of your question again?
It's about nurturing that. I lost this page on my page just went down, but it was about, I think what I'm hearing is that the idea of no attachment, and you know there is a philosophy of not wanting to have desire, that desire itself can fight against a peace, because your desires don't necessarily match up with your passions. You know how all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's almost like a false sense of spirituality, I think, because I don't think that the universe desires for poverty to be part of anything, but the non-attachment and yet wanting money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, I'm totally with you. Yeah, I got into this because I know that money always follows. I get a little passionate on that one. Hey, you're talking to a passionista. How can I know? I mean, when I hear the word about how the money will follow, what's that all about? it follows because it's you're covered. Your basic needs are covered. So now, how will that fit with what I do, what my own passion is? I'm passionate about serving those that I'm meant to serve. And so I'm very clear with who my ideal clients are. That's very important, by the way, that you know who your ideal client is. That will immediately, it's like a light bulb that will go off in your head and you will know, oh, now I know who it is that I want to serve, who it is that I'm meant to serve. And from there, you can create your business plan, you can create your marketing plan, you can create all of the business models that you want, and you can serve those that you want to serve and you're meant to serve. It is once you know that, it's everything else. It's so clear that you never even have to question. So this is why finding your passion, knowing your passion, building a business around your passion, it is so super important, because the rest is just falls into place. You never even have to want for more. You know what you want, you ask it, it comes. And then you need to market it, obviously. And just remember the field of dreams, that build it and they will come. And then I'm interjecting in there, build it, market it, and then they will come. Yes. However, it is so true. So part of what, you know, how I nurture my own passion is always thinking about the people that I'm meant to serve, meaning my ideal clients. And sometimes, by the way, even family and relatives and friends, sometimes I use that same kind of model of will they be my ideal clients?
Yes.
And that helps with my own relationship, with my own personal relationship, to be a, you know, relatives or, you know, intimate relationships, friends, you know, you name it. That's also very important, that we know who it is, the people that we want to serve, that we are meant to serve, that are our absolute ideal clients. Because when you work with ideal clients, everything falls into place. So I hope that I answered that for Pat. Catherine, did I answer that?
I have kind of my own question that's following up to it, because I've been a person who, over the last several years, certain of my ideas have not panned out the way I thought, and there's been disappointment about launching business. And sometimes the pain and sting of disappointment takes away the courage to step out again. And I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the passion, the timing is probably what was off, and that the passion to do the work was fine. Hang on to that. But what do you do to keep that passion alive when certain creative projects fall on their face?
I will say this. You have to be with yourself. When certain things fall, they just fall, period. That doesn't mean that your passion has gone away. I mean, there are times when you have to do a certain amount of mourning over something that left you, that went away. And that's very important that it is honored. You know, pain teaches us, and crying heals us. So when something that brings us pain, we need to honor that pain. It doesn't matter how big or small. It's never about the size. It's about the fact that we felt it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we acknowledge it. And then eventually when we are with that pain, when we are in a mode of, in other words, kind of visit, don't stay there, honor it, and then go back and refocus your energy. Because that energy, it will flicker. It may go up, it may go down. I mean, these are things that happen to all of us. And again, there's a huge amount of value in pain, because we feel alive in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
It's important that we honor that we honor, boy, this thing go our way, that we do honor the pain we feel, that we honor the fact that we cry, because there's so much healing power in tears, and that then we refocus again on what is it that makes me tick, that makes me really get excited about life. And then obviously get someone, get a confidant, get a coach, get a mentor that can help you refocus, because when we do things together with the people that are the right fit for us, we can do so much more. I truly believe that 2009 is going to be a year of partnerships.
of joint ventures that we're going to I'm getting a response again, that we're going to contribute to the world in a huge, huge way. That we're actually going to think bigger about, not only about ourselves. And when I say bigger, I mean it in the best of ways, because we are amazing human beings. We're on this call for a purpose, for a reason, and everyone has come to this call. To me, it's already amazing that they're sending in these questions. They're amazing individuals because they're thinking bigger about themselves. When you think about what is my passion, that to me is already a big thinker out there. And we are going to be thinking bigger about ourselves so we can actually serve the greatest good of this planet. And that to me is really compelling with this disability. Oh.
And I can see where, like, if you have your passion, you know what you want to do, and a project falls through, or, you know, an audition falls apart, or an editor says no, whatever that is, it shakes you, but it could also strengthen you so that you're even more sure about your passion and you want to walk forward.
Yeah, and it's always a good idea to actually have a sense of gratitude towards the things that didn't work out, because it may have been meant for your benefit.
Well, Ellie, I would love to put you on the spot. I didn't tell you I should do this, but I would love to put you on the spot, and maybe you could tell us just a wee story about something that in your life looked like a disappointment and turned out to be an open door, or some time when you had something that could have been perceived as a failure, but as it turns out, opened a door for you. Do you have something like that?
Oh, my God, who doesn't? Again, you know, these are the people that you know, we're all on this call because we're big thinkers here, and not only are we big thinkers, but we feel in big ways too, and I think we all have amazing stories to tell. And for me, among the many, one that was a very pivotal point in my life, it was when I made a decision to leave the area where I was very comfortable. Talk about, you know, being in the comfort zone, and I can't remember now who asked that question, but where you think everything is cozy and, you know, you're doing everything right that you're supposed to be doing, and you go through the shoots, and you're really pleased with yourself, right?
Yes.
Why shake it up?
Right.
I said to myself, what am I doing? I'm playing mommy to all these people.
Yeah.
And I made a decision that on my own, that was one of the things that I feel very, very, very passionate about. People should always have a confidant, a coach, a mentor. I cannot even say this enough. Because I made certain decisions without consulting, without even, you know, having a sounding board. And that's what made me think, oh boy, what have I done? I just uprooted myself. I left everything behind. I made a move of hundreds of miles away.
Wow.
Not knowing what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen. And then after I drove, I said, oh my God, what have I done? And it's not like, you know, you can't put the baby back, you know?
Right.
And however, because again, that voice and intuition, and that was, it turned out to be one of the best moves I've ever made among many.
Mm.
In as much as I persisted as, oh God, you know, when you have that sense of that you've made a big mistake.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, getting out of a comfort zone, getting out of a role, not so much of a job or a corporate job or, you know, all of the income that you managed to have, but you have been playing a role.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you are not doing that anymore.
Yes.
And you make that decision, and your world literally turns upside down. A lot of things that go with it, too, because when you make decisions like that they don't look so good, it affects your health.
Right.
So, you know, it affects, it had an impact like no other. So, and then it turned out to be, you know, one of the best decisions.
Did I answer your question? Did you feel, yes, you did, and to follow up, did any of your friends or acquaintances at the time question your decision?
Other than they sent me letters that I was certifiable.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. They not only, actually, I lost some acquaintances along the way.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Because
and that can be painful when you successfully.
That was very, very painful. I was judged very harshly because a lot of it appeared. It was a perception like I abandoned some of my own, you know, things that. It was very weird, actually. You know, now that I'm thinking back on it, boy, that had to be really, really weird for other folks. And to me, it was an actual thing to do. To me, there was something inside me that just said, do it. And it may have not looked good, it may have not, you know, I had to question it, but that too was very disappointing because I had folks that I thought were, you know, they were going to be there for life and they were not.
Yeah.
And that, it brings me back to knowing who the ideal people in your life need to be it clients, be it friends, be it relatives. It's very important that that's clear because the clearer you have that, the better and the easier and the more juiced up your life is going to be.
Right.
Problems are not a bad thing. Life, is, you know, problems are part of life. We need to understand that if we think that we solve a problem and we're always going to be, you know, we're never going to have problems again, we're sadly mistaken. We just need to understand that everything that happens to us is in preparation for something greater.
Yes.
And I think that to me is the best thing I can say regarding that. What have we learned is that anything that has happened to us, including the frustrations and the heartbreaks, then it's been a preparation for something bigger and greater.
Well, I can't believe we're running out of time so quickly, but we are wrapping up to the end of the call, and I really am glad that you answered that because you are such an embodiment of what you teach. You are a passionista. The joy of your serving your community spills out in everything you do, and sometimes we can look at that and think, oh gosh, what does he know about challenges, you know, and that's for your share, and I know I share that experience with moving across country to a place where nobody knows me, and the fact that some of the friends had such a difficult time with that they no longer were close to me, but yet I've met new people, and I'm in a new world, and it's true that when one door closes, another opens, no matter what, and if you're on this call, if you just happen to pick up the recording later and something within this call has triggered in your heart the desire to get to know this woman better, you cannot have a better resource or teacher than Allie Rodriguez to help you find your passion. And there's a fantastic class coming up here. I'm going to let Allie tell us about it one more time. And, you know, if you are one who has been a little bit out of touch with your intuition and you're just not sure of that inner voice and you're feeling a nudge to get to know more about Allie, answer that. Because regardless if it's reading about her, listening to this call, or certainly joining the class, your life will not stay the same once you come in touch with this woman. It's my life is not the same thing I ran into her. But answer that inner nudge because it's one of the things that's going to happen in 2009 is that we're not going to be the Lone Ranger anymore. We're going to collaborate. We're going to join with people who have like hearts so that we have power in numbers. There's power in five. And I'd like for you to tell us one more time about your wonderful class. Tell us again how we can get a hold of you, and then we'll wrap this up.
The class is about the five core powers and elements that we have within us. It has to do with your passion. It has to do with your sense of pride. It has to do with your purpose, why you're here. It also has to do with how do you profit from who you are, what you do, and who you serve. So the sense of profit to have the lifestyle that you deserve is very important. And last but not least is your mastering your sense of perception. What is your true reality? And these 5-week classes will do that. We will work on your passion, your pride, your purpose, your profits, and your perception for 5 consecutive weeks, starting January the 7th through February the 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And you can find me at visionforsuccess.biz/calendar.html. Catherine, thank you so much for this. And tell us about you, too, where we all can find you.
Oh, well, yes. I am right now parked in blog land on howtomakeyourmanperfect.com, which is my tongue firmly in my cheek as I talk about how we can use the opportunities in relationships to
to bring ourselves into more wholeness with ourselves, and I would be delighted to have people stop by and read what I've got going on. That's howtomakeyourmanperfect.com.
This is awesome, and please feel free to email us or email me if you have any questions at ali@visionforsuccess.biz. And the same thing with Catherine. Catherine, your email is?
My email is cat@catherinediem.com. And that I will be more than happy to field any comments or questions myself. And I look forward to more collaborations. Ali and I both have a heart for passion. And between the two of us, there's going to be some exciting things happening in 2009. So thank you for joining us. And I think this call's a wrap.
Hey, and wishing everybody a happy 2009. All right.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Catherine.